before we start, we've got an email to read.
Oh, we're started. We started it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're going.
This is from Izzy.
Hey, Izzy.
Hi, Izzy.
The title of the email, the subject line, is Autism with a Little Smiley Face.
Autism smiley face.
Aww. Autism Very smiley nice. Face. Hello, everybody. Seeing as the recent pod is heavily autism-based, I thought you might be interested in my view and experience as a girl with Asperger's and a young carer for my very badly autistic brother.
Wow, interesting. Aww. Please, go ahead.
I obviously spent ages trying to get diagnosed and stuff, and that's because the test doesn't work for girls for a very specific reason based on what I call copy and paste. Something I really badly experienced, which is where you basically watch other people's social actions and copy them to hide your autism, basically.
Wow, fascinating. Whoa.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It's almost like she was parroting the actions of the people around her, which is very relevant for the episode we're about to do.
How do you know that?
How do you know this?
We haven't done the episode yet.
We haven't recorded it yet.
Because we are recording this at the end of the show.
No.
We're putting it at the start for some reason.
This is the beginning of the show.
No, I know, but we're recording it at the end.
You're breaking the reality that you can't do this.
Because Cory forgot to put it in.
You can't edit things out of order.
Yes, you can.
It's impossible.
It is possible.
Everything has to be chronological.
And we record all of the episodes at once. We've been recording since, you know, day one. We haven't stopped. Anyway, also, autism can definitely be life-changing and a disability, like it is in my brother. He will need constant care for his whole life, and I'm classed as a young carer as a result of it. I personally really enjoyed your episode, and I think you did a good job at interpreting autism. Izzy. Well,
really?
Thank you very much.
And that's really important to hear, I think, because so much in popular culture, autism is used as like a, you know, like in like in The Imitation Game, it's like this character has autism, which makes them super intelligent, which is one subsection of autism. And autism can be a intelligence thing, and it could also be a disability. So thank you for sharing that, Izzy. Good email.
Good job.
Oh, thanks, Izzy.
Thank you very much.
Let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Cutforth.
Hello.
Hi.
This week, we'll be talking about talking parrots and crazy ladies.
We'll be talking about talking parrots.
Yes, we will.
And crazy.
Will the talking parrots be talking about us talking about talking parrots?
No, because talking parrots dead.
Oh, spoilers. Yeah.
So we all know that parrots can talk, right?
Well, they can imitate human speech.
Yeah, okay, but they can make...
I don't think they know they're talking.
Sounds. That's like saying babies can talk, you know? Sometimes babies don't know what they're saying. They're just saying words.
Did you guys see the video on Twitter this week that went viral of the parrot imitating a baby crying sound in order to get attention?
What? No,
so
I didn't see that.
It's this guy who has like a bunch of parrots.
What is your timeline?
Yeah, it's a guy who has a bunch of parrots, and he has like, when he transports them, he puts them in a cage, and in order to get attention, one of them just starts crying like a little baby. It is so cute. Let me get the video.
How does it know that? It's obviously been around a baby then, and had to learn that baby gets attention when it cries.
Yeah, I'm guessing when it's watched a baby get attention when it cries and is then imitating the sound. And it's like, this is a very convincing baby cry.
They're very good at making noises.
Yeah, as I'm sure you're going to teach us in this
episode.
Well,
I'm about to tell you, yeah.
Listen to this, though.
Okay, this is Nico.
That's a baby.
Nico, are you done?
That's just a baby.
Look at the video.
This is what I go through every day, and people think I have a crying baby out here. I will show you, it's really just Nico. Nico!
That's
Nico.
Awful.
That's horrific. That's out of a horror film.
It is a really good prank, though.
When this episode goes out, I will put that on our SciGuys Twitter, or I'll retweet it or something.
Please do.
You can all go and look at it. You can go find us in SciGuys Pod on Twitter, and you can follow us, and you can look at that video, which
I'll
put there.
That's disturbed me a little bit.
That is ridiculous. But like you said, parrots can't actually understand what they're saying. They can kind of understand. What the sounds that they're saying.
They can associate a sound with an outcome, but they can't understand grammar or put together grammatical sentences.
Well, that's the thing.
What?
Well,
can they?
Well, not all parrots, obviously, can kind of maybe understand things that they say and understand grammar. But I'll get into that.
Okay.
First, I'm going to tell you about how humans speak. Humans have the same kind of apparatus to talk that chimps do.
That chimps do.
Well, yeah, like other primates. But we do talking a little bit better than they do.
Like a voice box, is that what you mean?
Well, yeah, and lungs and a throat and lips and a tongue.
As opposed to other animals that don't have lungs.
I never thought of myself
like insects,
using my lips to talk. I suppose I do.
They're very important.
Yeah.
Talking sort of the most complex things, it's probably the most complex thing that your brain does.
I'm suddenly really aware of my lips. I don't think I've ever been aware of my lips.
Don't do that.
Think about your lips while you say words.
Hello.
Yeah. So you know how we talk, right? Can you give a description of the talking process?
No.
We think of a thought.
You can talk while you do it. There you go.
Okay. We vibrate a thing in our throats.
Is that the first thing you do?
Well, we think of what we want to say first.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we vibrate a thing in our throats, and then we shape the sort of shape of that sound with our mouths and our tongue.
That's right. You missed out the key part.
Oh.
Which is, you vibrate it by pushing air out from your lungs.
Okay, my mistake. Yeah. I mean, I don't do that. I just talk. My body does that.
It just makes a noise. He's got a little speaker system.
You don't even have to think about it.
But yeah, so your lungs are very, very good. You've got very well-controlled breath in comparison to other animals.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Luke. Yeah, it's just you. It's just you.
No, I know. Not other humans.
But if you think about other animals, like the noises they make, they don't really make anything nearly as complex as us. They can kind of shout for 2 seconds and then they have to stop.
It is a bit like screaming, isn't it? Especially with birds.
Animal noises.
Dolphins? Do dolphins have, because they have little which I suppose could be compared to like the bits of data in a dial-up internet connection. So like, are they
that
like,
is way over the heads of so many people in our audience.
Are they going like Morse code, like
I don't think so. Cast your mind back to our pilot episode.
Oh yeah.
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 No. Dolphins can't talk like people.
Okay.
No. But parrots can.
Well, yes, apart from the fact that they don't know what they're saying.
I'm trying to tell you about how people talk. So you've got an Adam's apple, probably.
I do.
Yes, you do.
Somewhere.
Now, that's your voice box, your larynx, which is just some like some little folds of like flesh.
Yeah.
Ew.
That pushes air past, that when air is pushed past, it makes little vibrating noises. Yeah. Mm. Which is your voice, which is weird to think about. You've got this little vibrating thing in your neck. You can feel it if you talk.
Hello.
If you're sitting on a bus right now, just put your finger on your neck and go,
You won't look weird.
Okay, there you go. You feel that? Good. Yeah, so the size of the surface area of what's actually vibrating is probably about half the size of your smallest fingernail.
Wow.
So it's not very big at all. I thought it would be like large. Yeah. You see some people with really big Adam's apples, but it's tiny.
Aww.
Tiny little thing.
Stay humble.
Yeah, and then it comes out of your voice box, and then you shape it with your tongue and lips, like Luke said.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
And like the cheeks as well, a little bit.
Yeah, the cheeks play some kind of part, yeah.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is that humans can't all discern different sounds from each other. So in Japan, they find it more difficult to tell the L and R sounds apart because functionally in their language, there isn't really a difference.
Yeah, and they have like babies are all born with the propensity to develop the ability to make and understand all sounds. Mm-hmm. And then they specialize in the ones that the language, the local language have. And then you lose the ability to hear or differentiate at least between the ones you don't use.
That's after about 3 months, yeah. So in the first 3 months of your life, you can say whatever you want, and then you lose it. Like if in
except
English,
you don't know what to say.
Exactly. Like in English, you've got the glottal
the tragedy
stop, which
of
is
human
difficult.
Experience.
The glottal stop, which is in a lot of languages, which we find difficult.
What is the glottal stop?
It's what the sound you'd make in uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Or butter.
Butter.
It's the So that exists in other languages where it's used much more commonly, but... We just can't do it very well. Yeah, see,
yeah. This is a really good podcast we do, isn't it?
You've got this.
I suck at it. That's really bad.
It's hard. You can no. It's like It's like you got to stop it in the back of your throat. I can't do it either.
Thousands of people are currently listening to us go.
There's actually this chart online, and other places, I'd assume as well, that has all of the different sounds that humans can make, and there's also these sounds that humans can't make.
Ooh.
Which are really frustrating to me. Because if you think about trying to make... the map is basically where the sound is in your mouth. I'll find an impossible sound and see if I can make it.
Is it because other animals can make the sounds and we can't? Or is it just...
Other animals could be able to make the sounds, but it's possible...
Frequency-wise.
No, it's like possible. It's not the frequency. It's like possible sounds, but you can't say close your throat. Okay. Oh, okay. So you make different sounds by moving your tongue in your mouth. Now... if you were to move your tongue right to the back of your throat,
right,
that would make a different sound.
But you can't do it.
But you physically can't
tied
do it
to the bottom of your
mouth. Yeah, it's tied to the bottom of your mouth. So there.
So it's about it's noises that when air passes through it through a certain shape, it makes a certain sound, but we can't make the shape with our mouths.
Yes, exactly.
We have limited shapes we can make. Okay,
because our tongues are stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is really frustrating for me because I want to be able to make those forbidden sounds.
Feel limited.
I have a friend forbidden who sounds. Has a friend. Well, actually, he wasn't really my friend. He was not very nice to me. But anyway, enough of that story. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm getting through it. He says that he has a friend who cut the bottom of his tongue, like he cut the bit away from the mouth, and that because the tongue's really long, supposedly, I don't know if this is true, maybe someone can let us know, but he said that his friend cut the bottom of his tongue and could then take it out further than it was meant to go. And to put it back in, he had to roll it up like a fruit winder and like press it down, and it went back down his throat. I don't know if that's true.
That sounds like one of those fake stories someone tells.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my friend of a friend did this.
What you can do is slit your tongue in half and move the two parts independently.
And then you have a little two snake tongues. Yeah. Don't do that though. I mean, if you want to, I guess, but don't.
Luke is telling you not to do it, so don't. Just don't do it.
I want to know if it's true though.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
I want to know.
Look it up.
Can someone volunteer?
Yeah, can someone, if anyone out there understands tongues really well, could
or
you
has a pair of scissors. Just no, let us know.
No, Corey, don't.
That's the line I was going down.
Stop it.
Fine, a scalpel.
Well, you do it then, James.
I don't want to.
But I've got scalpels upstairs.
I'm not that interested.
You've got scalpels upstairs?
Yeah.
Wait, why do you have scalpels?
I've got some scissors in here.
I need to cut some stuff. I don't know.
You're weird.
I'm not. Well, you'll be sorry when you need emergency surgery and
I'm
you're
not
here.
Coming to you for emergency surgery.
What if you come to do the podcast and suddenly your appendix is bursting?
I don't have an appendix. It was taken out when I was 8.
What if
the emergency room is too far away?
What if they left a little bit in there, huh?
They didn't
and
leave
it
any
grew
in.
Back.
No, it's not a liver, Corey. It's not a liver.
How do you know that? So, as I said, we can make sounds and we can also string them together really well, as in what I'm doing right now, but I'm thinking about it a lot, so it's very difficult to do it. It's called speech. Other animals can't control these sounds as well as we can. And you kind of look past it, but it is a really complex thing to do, just to move your tongue and mouth and lips all in unison to make hundreds of different noises.
And it is the basis of, like, I think probably the basis of so much of why we are the dominant species on the Earth from the perspective of, like, scale and change, like terraforming the Earth to changing the Earth to our needs. Because, like, if you're a dolphin and you have an idea to build a building, you can't tell anyone about it, so you can't get other dolphins to help you. You can literally be a dolphin or an ant or anything and come up with an answer to the universe, but then once you're dead, it's gone.
The thing with human speech is it allows us to pass down knowledge, and information can exist outside of a single generation, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Made us make all of this, made us make podcasts. Yeah. And where would we be?
I thought you were gonna say build a house.
Well, I think animals probably can pass information down through generations. For example, like if a crow figures out how to use a stick as a tool, it can demonstrate, and then its offspring can learn that and retain the information and demonstrate to their children.
That's true.
Which is not necessarily in the genetic code.
It's so, usually only stuff they need to do, though, isn't it? Like build a nest or
the thing is there's a slight difference between what humans do and the way that crows do it. I think just because we're more complex.
Sure, because we can describe an idea rather than show it.
Yeah.
Like if I went and described building a house in words, I don't have to build an entire house and have you watch.
And I guess that also comes down to written language as well. The fact that we've managed to take all of our sounds and just distill them into like 26 little symbols.
Symbols, yeah.
Which can then pass things down. If everyone on Earth, apart from a few,
you don't need
to
see a human.
You don't need to see them. As long as like you're able to read, you can be like, okay, I can figure this out.
Isn't it freaky that when you think about, say, you think about a word like pineapple, and you think about it written down, the shape of the letters. The shape of the letters has nothing to do with the actual sound.
Mm.
It's only in our heads.
Yeah.
But I mean, I know that's obvious, but it's so inherent in our understanding of the shape of the word pineapple that it means the sound pineapple that we don't even realize that. The actual thing there is just a bunch of squiggles.
Yeah.
We can't see it for what it actually is. We just hallucinate the meaning onto it
straight
away.
The longer you say it or the longer you read it, the more weird it becomes.
Yeah.
What I think is interesting is that in that entire time, you didn't actually mention pineapples, which the word and sound both represent for no reason other than we agree that they do. Which is, it's like money. It doesn't really exist.
Yeah.
We're just all agreeing that that's That's yes. candle. That yeah. noise means this thing.
I guess similarly, the same thing is true in that you can't, like, try it right now if you're listening at home. Try and listen to me speaking right now and not hear the words I'm saying. Hear the sound I'm making without understanding the speech. And you cannot do it. And it's so frustrating. You can't listen to my voice
have you seen a video called What English Sounds Like to...
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm imagining. It sounds like... Go look it up if you haven't seen it. It sounds like English, but you can't understand a word they're saying.
So the thing is that that can actually happen to people with ADHD and information processing
right.
issues as well. Things can sound just like sounds rather than actual words.
Yeah.
So... It is. Humans do have the capacity for that to happen, which is crazy. Sure,
but I just mean that in like a
neurotypical context,
neurotypical person, it's not. What I mean is, it's not possible for you to turn off the functionality of understanding language, and that's so frustrating.
It's when it happens, it's really jarring as well. If you think something is English but it isn't, like I was watching Moana the other day, and there is this. The entire film is sung in English, apart from this one song. Where it's sung in some kind of Polynesian language, but it's like the cadence of the music makes it sound exactly like English.
Oh, weird. Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there like, what language is this?
I don't know what I'm singing, but yeah. It sounds good.
It is just sounds.
Yeah.
And then you lose it.
So that must be what, unless you're right in that parrots can understand language, which I'm sure maybe we'll find out whether they can. Most parrots, when they're imitating, are imitating the sounds we've made. They don't understand what they're doing. So they actually are perceiving our language the way that we can't perceive it. And then they're recreating it.
Yeah, so they're kind of mimicking and attaching. The thing is, they kind of can attach sounds to meaning.
Yeah.
But in a very simplistic way. The thing with human language is that kind of, apparently around about half of our brain is involved in language. Which sounds like a lot. But if you think about... If you think about how much you use it in your daily life, as in, there's this thing called the Stroop effect, which is I studied it in, I did this whole project on it when I was leaving school. Effectively, if you have a color, the word of the color name, but it's written in a different color, there's this hesitancy, but you'll end up, it's much less when you're told to read the name of the color rather than say what the color of the word is.
Yeah, that's a brain training exercise.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that.
But because you automatically read rather than automatically know the name of a color.
Sure.
Because reading is just so ingrained. You can look at you can look at words and just know what they mean without reading them. Because your brain does it in the background.
And isn't that super interesting that our brains preference doing something we made up, i.e. reading language, rather than preferencing a thing that is inherent in the data it's getting in, i.e. color, like frequency of color. Language processing happens in the chain of command of the brain. Language processing happens before color processing,
which is insane. Mm. Because if you were in a survival situation, you'd want to know the color of a berry, you know, whether it's red.
Well, it's
and
not
probably
a survival.
Poison.
You don't get fight or flight and run away from the bush.
No, but my point is that if you're looking sure. for something to eat, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
you're gonna look for something that doesn't look poisonous, which is a color thing. And maybe that'd be so ingrained in us as. Yeah, we couldn't
it
just
might,
overwrite
but
it.
The thing is, it might not even be inherent in our brains. It's possible that, for example, because we are taught to learn from such a young age and we do it every day all the time, our brain has just decided, oh, okay, you want me to do that. And it's not actually that our brain preferences reading. It's just that we've built a world that requires us to read so often that our brain just does it first before anything else.
The thing is, I'm not sure if that's the case because our brains are so geared towards language.
Right.
As in the languages that they made a whole film about.
But have we studied that on people who haven't got a language? Have we, let's say, done an MRI scan on some, like if there's somebody who was born outside of society and didn't develop a language?
I don't think we have done anything.
So
like
we wouldn't
that.
Know. We have no data for it.
Yeah, but even then, if we were to do that, it would be such small scale as to not. You wouldn't want to draw any conclusions from it.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, I think from the studies we have done on the brain, language helps the brain develop in a particular way, which is why being bilingual, your brain can shift between working in two slightly different ways depending on the language that you're speaking. Mm-hmm. Like languages control how the brain kind of develops.
Yeah, it's like language is used as the way your brain is mapped out and you create association patterns between things. Based on the language you speak. And so that's what the movie, what's that movie?
Arrival.
Arrival is about, is that if you learn a new language, you also process the world differently and can perceive things that you couldn't perceive before. And that may be true. We have no idea.
So when I was first trying to learn German, I wanted to, instead of trying to associate the German word with an English word, I didn't want to do that. I wanted to look at a table and think Tisch without having to go,
sure, yeah,
ah, this thing, table,
table,
German word for table.
Yeah. Table
and
means
it
Tisch.
Worked a lot better.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, right. I would stick post-it notes to each of the things in my room so that when I saw it, I would have to think German rather than thinking English.
Spanish.
It's really useful if you try and skip out English altogether and just go straight into what your brain understands.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get back to what we're actually talking
That's
about.
That's a story.
Obviously, parrots can imitate human speech. Do you guys know how they do that? Because they clearly don't have lips.
No, that's what I was going to ask. How can they recreate our sounds without the same
structure? I'm guessing they can open and close their throat. Yeah.
So most birds, well, parrots as well, have a different kind of vocal system to us. They tend to have, not a larynx, I think it's called a syrinx. Which functions kind of differently. It doesn't really have vocal folds in the same way that we do. And as far as I've read, they've kind of got two of them.
Mm.
So some birds can make two sounds at once, which is like, it's like trying to harmonize with yourself. We can really only make one.
Some people can do that.
Some people can, yeah, which is freaky and I don't like it. I don't like it. But yeah, a lot of birds can do that.
I get what's weird about birds doing that as well is that they're so much smaller. So the sounds they're producing naturally should be so much higher. And they're able to make sounds in a lower register than their scale would suggest because they're imitating it somehow.
Yeah.
It's like me, my natural pitch being this, and then me being able to go low deliberately because I understand that it will have a reaction in the human that I'm trying to imitate.
But that's what
cats do. Clever.
That's what cats do. Cats will generally communicate with each other in...
They don't meow.
Meowing is for kittens. So cats will generally, when they're adults, communicate with each other in tones that humans can't really hear. But to communicate with humans, cats meow in the way that kittens do.
Because they know that we can
be like baby.
Yeah, because we treat them like babies and also they know that we can hear it.
And it's really cute. Right.
I hate it, but it's really cute. I've said it so many times. I'm so annoyed that cats domesticated us. It's frustrating.
I'm not annoyed. I welcome our cat overlords.
But like just the contrast between cats and dogs. Like, we've made dogs into whatever we want, and cats still will just like leave and come back like 6 months later expecting food still. You know?
Yeah.
They're hungry now.
Yeah, so parrots actually, and other talking birds, learn in a different way than other birds do. So with most birds, their songs are hardwired into their brains, more or less. So they don't really learn how to make new sounds, whereas talking birds imitate sounds and learn, which gives them regional dialects as well.
Goats. Well, goats make noises to do with their dialect regionally, yeah.
So do dogs.
What? And whales, I think. I think whales swim around and they pick up each other's songs and come back singing a different song.
Yeah. It's cute.
That's so weird.
So parrots will respond more strongly to a song of like their dialect than someone else's, which is really interesting. But yeah, so that's really the key to what makes parrots good at imitating human speech. The fact that they can...
Hang on, that means parrots are racist. Because they'll pick which song they are singing based on whether it's from around their area or not. And other areas, they're like, nah, rubbish music.
Well, it's not. If I hear a Scottish person, if I'm walking down the street and I hear a Scottish accent, I automatically turn because I'm like, oh, one of my own.
That's like me with Australians.
Yeah, and I filter out the English, you know?
I don't think filter out the English.
Yeah. If I'm walking down the street, I'm not listening to English people. What have they got to say? They've got nothing for me.
Nothing but oppression and taxes.
Yeah, man. Wow. But yeah, they learn really good is the key point there.
That's the takeaway.
And also, they've got a really good tongue. Parrots have really good tongues in that they can contort and fold in ways that can make
dexterous tongues.
Well, yeah, but every sound
more ways than ours.
They can make every vowel sound that a human can make.
Cool.
Which is weird because we have lips and they just have the tongue and a clicky beak.
That was kind of my next question because they have a different. Obviously, they don't have a mouth; they have a beak.
But you don't need. I think what differentiates a vowel is that you don't have to use your lips to make the sound.
Yeah, that's true.
So like A-E-I-O-U. I don't have to close my mouth for any of those.
A-E-I-O-U. But you change the...
And then other letters, I think, are to do with the fact that you have to use air pressure to create them.
But you need to change the... My point is you need to change the... You need to change the opening that it's coming out.
Yeah. Okay. So they don't have shape. They don't have shape.
So if you think about it, a beak is set. They can't really change very much.
Yeah.
The shape.
Yes. Okay. And how do they make the A-E-I-O-U sound? Especially the O. Is it the tongue?
The tongues are just so good.
And contracting the... So they've got muscles in their throats.
So they have little throat mouths.
Yeah, exactly.
So they can shape it in their throats and use the tongue.
Yeah.
In more ways than ours.
Wow.
Which is ridiculous. I'm not very... And the fact that parrots can make M sounds without lips. Mm.
But they have little throat lips. That's why.
Well, basically.
Yeah.
Throat lips.
I mean, you guys have heard parrots speak, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what they sound like. They're very good. They're very proud of
terrifying.
Them.
Not as good as me, though.
Okay, so I'll tell you about the parrots I'm going to be talking about. And I lied because it's not parrots. It's one parrot. It's Alex, the African grey parrot.
Nice. What did he do?
He died. He also lived.
That's all he spoke. He was born, and then he died.
I'll do it in reverse order.
No, he was born, then he spoke, then he died.
Oh. Okay.
That was it. It was a very short life.
Stunning trilogy.
No, so Alex was taught to talk and, you know, interact.
But did he walk the walk?
He did walk because he couldn't fly. He had his wings clipped as a child. Well, not a child, whatever a child parrot is called.
A parrot.
Chick, man. I guess.
He had his wings clipped?
Yeah.
As in off?
No, when a bird has their wings clipped, you just clip the flying feathers.
Just the flying feathers.
I thought you meant like he was a parrot without any arms.
No.
Just like
no parrots have arms. All parrots are armless.
They have wing arms. Shut up. Not I'm all parrots so glad are armless. Some of them hurt people.
Good. So Alex met Irene Pepperberg.
Is that another parrot?
No, she's a woman. Hang on.
Alex,
I don't know.
He met her. Where were they? On a date?
I was about to tell you.
In the cinema?
Yeah, in a pet store.
Tinder.
I don't think you call it meeting. I don't think...
What is it?
Well, Alex was in a pet store and a person called Irene Pepperpot or whatever
Pepperberg.
She's called, walked in.
And met him.
He
yeah.
Said, okay, sure, well, I guess.
Nice to meet you,
nice
parrot.
Nice to meet you.
Do you come here often, parrot?
Good to meet you, Irene Pepperpot.
So Irene met Alex and took him home.
Stop saying met.
Okay, they're at home.
She bought him.
There was
they're
no more meeting
now.
Involved. They're at home.
Well, that would be very inappropriate. Like, you wouldn't just take someone home if you've not met them.
On the first date?
Stop.
So, we've only just met.
Irene Pepperberg wanted to... So Irene wanted to show that parrots' vocal behavior could be similar to humans. By which I mean she wanted to see if she could teach a parrot to talk.
Had no one done that ever before yet?
So, apparently not.
Weird.
When was this?
Right?
What?
This was the 19...
What?
Yeah, this is about
No one had ever
ago.
Owned a parrot and had it go, hello.
Well, yes, people had parrots go, hello. I don't think people have done
extensive scientific studies. Teaching to talk, as in to communicate, rather than to copy instead.
Yeah,
right.
As the characteristics of human language, as in communication, not just making weird sounds.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
It's okay.
She wanted to teach him to communicate.
Okay.
Yeah, so she used this technique called the model rival technique, which is a very interesting one, wherein you've got a participant who who kind of is a rival for the attention.
Was it a person or another bird?
It was a person.
Cool.
Yeah, so you had another person be the rival for Alex for the attention of the instructor, and they would do the right thing so that Alex would learn what the right thing to do was in terms of responding.
Which was to speak.
Yes, and then they would swap around so that the instructor became the rival and the rival became the instructor.
Interesting.
So that Alex would understand that it was a two-way scenario.
And then Alex started crying like a little baby, like that parrot in the video.
No, he started learning to talk so that he could get attention.
Oh, there were no babies. There were no babies involved.
Yeah, there were no babies involved.
Okay.
When Irene was, you know, talking to an assistant and they would make mistakes, Alex would correct them apparently.
Wow.
Supposedly. But okay, I should say this now, that a lot of this is based on like one book and five web pages of studies that I found.
Okay.
So this is all coming from this one woman. So you kind of got to take it with a bit of a grain of salt.
He was like one of those annoying grammar people on the internet.
I don't think anyone would, yeah, but I don't think anyone would admit to being corrected by a parrot if it wasn't true.
Well, they might do if they want to sell a book.
Yeah, but like, it's very embarrassing to be a... It's very embarrassing.
I think you get over the embarrassment if you sell books and then people are still talking about you on podcasts 50 years later.
That's not really 50 years later. Alex died. All right, 70 years later. This was kind of the late 80s, 90s that this was all going down.
That's not 40 years ago. I'm really confused about the timeline. Sorry, that's why I'm confused. I don't
know. Alex was born 40 years ago.
Right, okay. How old did he live?
To 31.
I was just thinking.
He was born the same year as my mum, 1976.
The parrot lived to 31.
No, parrots live longer than that. He died really young. Yeah, what? Parrots can live to 80.
Mad.
I just assume birds die early.
A parrot can live between like 50 and 95 years.
Exactly. It will die early. Okay.
Well, parrots can live between 50 and 95 years, guys. Okay.
Hang on. 50 and 95 years?
Between 50 and 95 years, yeah.
What?
Depending on the species.
That's like people.
Unless you're Alex and you die.
It's longer than people. So Alex had a pretty good vocabulary, about 150 words.
Wow.
Absolute maximum. Yeah, he was pretty smart. He could also do a lot of different things. Like identify 50 different objects, recognize quantities up to 6, and he could tell 7 different colors apart.
Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, and 5 shapes as well. He was also able to understand the concept of bigger, smaller, same, and different. And he was learning over and under, apparently.
Wow. So the idea of like if he knows bigger and smaller. Mm. And he was able to apply that to like an object or like a piece of food or whatever. Mm-hmm. That means, he is actually understanding because he's applying a word like bigger to any other object. So he's understanding the relationship between the words.
To a concept rather than a single object, which is clever. So supposedly he had kind of the intelligence of a 5-year-old. And I've seen a video of a parrot of like they put parrots up against kids between like 3 and 5. Mm-hmm. The parrot got a lot of leeway, but it was definitely smarter than... like.
Do you remember that TV show, Are You Smarter Than a 10-Year-Old? Yeah. Imagine if you put a parrot on there.
Are You Smarter Than a Parrot?
Bertie Gilbert was on that. Imagine if it was Bertie Gilbert versus a parrot.
Of course Bertie Gilbert was on that. Why am I even surprised?
Was he an adult or a kid?
He was a kid.
Oh.
Yeah. He's an adult. He's barely an adult now.
Could have been
That's
an adult.
Not very nice.
We're the same age. It's fine. Yeah. I assume. I don't know. But they put parrots up against children. And... it's awakened this need in me to watch children go up against other animals to see who is smarter.
Or who would win in a fight.
Animals. 100%. Children
are... which animal?
Well, I mean, children are like very
like a shrew
weak.
Is not going to win.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
Shrews
little
are
nibbly, little nibbles.
But yeah, I think in some cases, the kids were maybe getting bored and the parrot answered some stuff wrong a couple times and they still let it go by after it got the right answer. But... the parrot was pretty good at it in comparison to a 3-year-old.
Considering he's a parrot.
But yeah, you gotta give him that, you know?
Give him some slack.
The fact that you were saying about like the size thing, like he understands bigger and smaller in relationship to other words, that sounds like better than when they tried to teach a monkey to speak. Because when there was that thing about monkey speaking where the monkeys, like the longest sentence it ever strung together was you, me, give, me, you. You, me, give, that, me, you give.
Are you talking about monkeys or the gorillas?
What was it? Yeah, it
might have been a gorilla.
I can't remember what it was.
They've taught gorillas a gorilla sign language. It's not American or British sign language.
Okay.
It's gorilla sign language, which is simplified American sign language.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't specifically know about the longest sentence that's been strung together, but Alex seemed to have a better grasp of grammar and... the actual words that he was using in comparison to the gorillas. And that gets to like the most interesting thing about this is that he was once looking at a mirror and said, what color? And learned gray after being told gray 6 times. And that supposedly makes him the first non-human animal to ask an existential question.
Like, because he's recognized himself.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, because other animals like gorillas and stuff haven't asked questions.
Yeah.
But the thing is, again, birds do spend a lot of time sitting in front of mirrors, and if he's been taught to say what color, he might just ask what color.
This Maybe. Is so much more pleasing than hearing about when like a monkey learns to speak with sign language, because the bird actually goes, what color? With his little mouth.
Oh, he's so cute. Honestly, like he says things like, want to go back? So if you're testing him, and if you're testing him and he's getting tired and he doesn't want to do it anymore, he's like, want to go back? It's so want to
go back.
Love,
I love it.
It'd be terrifying though if you found your parrot looking in a mirror and it goes, "What color?"
It's like Rick and Morty with the dog.
Yeah.
Like, where are my testicles, Summer? You cut them off. Where are they?
There's a really interesting story that I heard Darren Brown tell once about a bird, about a parrot, where he says that this is true. Brilliant story. Where he goes and visits these two old people, this husband and wife in a house. And he is chatting to the husband in the living room. And the wife just brings in a cup of tea and puts it down next to him and leaves. And he says to Darren Brown, "Oh man, I think she's got like dementia or something. She just keeps on bringing me cups of tea and I haven't asked for them." And then he goes and chats to the wife, and he's chatting to the wife and he hears, "Doris, stick the kettle on." And then Doris goes, "Oh, I think he's got like Alzheimer's or something. He's forgetting that he's asked me to put the kettle on." And it turns out they have a parrot that has heard him say, "Doris, put the kettle on," and is just constantly doing it in his voice. And she keeps putting the kettle on and bringing him tea. And neither of them understood that was what's happening.
That's brilliant. But I think the real amazing thing there is the fact that they didn't communicate well enough to understand that their parrot was tricking them. Like, they've never brought that up once.
Yeah, did he not go, "Why have you brought me tea?"
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but that's the story Darren Brown told. Wow. He said it was true. He said it as
I mean, it's entirely possible.
He says in it, like, "I know that sounds like I'm making that up, but I didn't make it up."
I mean, it doesn't, because that's what parrots do.
Yeah.
And they're very convincing.
Doris, stick the kettle on.
Doris, stick the kettle on.
I've been thinking about getting a bird because I feel like they're a lot like rats, but they can talk. And I love my rats, but I'd also like for my rats to be able to talk to me.
They can talk in other ways.
Yeah, so as I said, Alex seemed to have an understanding of the words that he said. He asked a question about himself, which is really interesting. He also had a good degree of object permanence, which
is a sign of intelligence.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's a sign of intelligence that we use in... I mean, babies don't have object
babies
permanence,
don't have that,
at least until they're... Not fully until they're about 2 years old. Okay, so like I said, when he was tired of being tested, he'd say, "Want to go back." As in, want to go back to his cage. But he'd also say, "Want to go" whenever he wanted to go anywhere.
Oh, so he understood "want to go" and "back."
Well, yeah. But again, the thing is that he could just be...
I've learned the two separate sounds.
Yeah, in the same way that a dog learns "sit" means sit.
Right.
He could have learned that "want to go" will get me where I want to go.
Right.
Without understanding what it actually means. Mm. But he apparently wasn't trained to say where he wanted to go. He just kind of picked it up from other things.
Well, maybe the trainers went, "Want to go?"
But yeah, but I mean, yeah, apparently he picked it up from being asked where he wanted to be taken.
Right, okay.
You know?
Would he say, like, "Want to go kitchen? Want to go cinema?"
Well, I mean...
"Want to go bowling?"
I don't think he can quite go bowling. He's not quite strong
enough. "Want to go bowling?"
He's only got...
He could... you could put it on the ramp for him, and then he could flap really hard and bash it with his face.
Yeah, I suppose he could just fly down and hit the pins, because you're not allowed to step on it.
Yeah.
But there's no rule about flying over it.
Yes.
There you go.
You could direct a parrot back out of the little ball dispenser.
Yeah, so if a researcher was annoyed, he'd say, "I'm sorry," to try and diffuse the tension.
Lovely.
He was really cute. Hold on.
Although he probably wasn't actually sorry. He probably just learned, "I'm sorry," the sound equals that you get off the hook. Like how a cat will go.
Yeah. Or like kids learn to say, "I'm sorry." Like kids will say stuff like that without knowing.
Sure.
Really
without
what it
actually means. Being sorry.
Yeah.
"I'm really cute. Please don't be angry.
I'm sorry.
I'm really small and a baby."
Weird. But yeah, I'm not saying that he understood the things that he was saying here. Yeah. It's just that...
But he learned to say them in the right situations.
Yeah, which is interesting. I mean, even if he didn't learn what things meant, he still managed to learn 150 words.
Attach sound
and attach
to meaning.
Them to meaning, which is really, really interesting. That's pretty good. He would say, "Want a banana?" And if you gave him a nut, he would sit. But he would sit in silence if you gave him a nut or something else.
Clever.
He would then ask for a banana again, or throw the nut away. I say the nut away. He would throw the nut at the researcher.
Legend. This is what you get.
Yeah, and then he would ask for the banana again. So, like, you give him a nut, but he asks for a banana.
A banana.
Yeah, and he chucks the nut at you. And also, he got bored of testing quite a lot.
So he didn't want to learn anymore.
Well, the thing is, yeah, so they'd ask him questions. For instance, in this case, they had different numbers of different colors of blocks. And they would say, what color 3? Like, hoping to get, say, red as the answer. And he just wouldn't answer red, even though he knew the answer, supposedly. He would say 5. Until she finally asked, okay, fine, what color 5? And he said none.
None?
Yeah, because there were no, like, there was not, oh, okay. there weren't 5 objects.
Right.
So he was just, like, he knew the answers. He was just playing around because he was bored of answering the questions, supposedly. This could be attaching human meaning to these, yeah, to, sure, these, to this parrot, but I quite like it, to be, yeah, honest. It's a nice story.
It's nice, isn't it?
And again, it could just be coincidence, because it's not like he's Iago from Aladdin. He is just a normal parrot that is making sounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said about, you were talking about grammar earlier on, Luke, weren't you? That just being able to make the sounds doesn't really...
Yeah, doesn't string the meaning together, yeah, in the right order.
But the thing is that he seemed to have some comprehension of personal pronouns. So he would use different... Yeah, he used different language parrot when referring to himself. So we had this kind of idea of I and you.
Yeah.
Which is not exactly grammar, but it kind of leads into it. The fact that he can differentiate... Yeah. Like talking about himself and talking about others.
Yeah, and also he was talking, that sounds like he had an understanding of first and third person, if he was able, yeah, to go like, I meaning self, and you meaning like things separate to I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, interesting.
Which I is love really interesting. You.
And then be able to convey that meaning through different sounds.
Yeah.
Which is really cool, I think. Yeah, but obviously this isn't all 100% confirmed. Yeah, you know, it mostly does come from one researcher.
Not proper science.
Well, it's the thing with studying animals is it's really difficult to do this. There's the clever hands effect. Yeah. Have you guys heard of that?
No. I've heard the name. I can't remember what it was there.
So I think it comes from the horse. Do you know the horse?
Yeah.
Clever hands. Basically, there was this horse that could apparently understand English and count. But it turned out that it was just responding to cues from the
I have heard
from
of
the
this.
Questioner.
Yeah. Sure.
So,
apparently it would say like it would count up, and then when it said the right answer, it saw the questioner go, "Oh," and
yeah,
then it stopped.
There'd be like a cue from people.
Yes,
exactly. Yeah. So there's the issue of that, but then there's not really an easy way to get around it, because obviously you want animals to be social, because communication is a social thing. So you can't remove the human element.
Sure. Well, you could give it a computer and see if it learned how to like converse with a computer, even if in language.
But it wouldn't be the same in that it's not with a computer. It's not really social connection.
No, but I mean that you could give it a computer and then give it a treat whenever it correctly repeated what the computer meant, or say you could do something like that, like they did with pigeons.
Yeah, you could. I mean,
and incentivizing it with treats.
Yeah, I mean, you could. I think just a lot of these researchers want to communicate rather than just parrot. So Pepperberg went back against critics and said that she made it kind of impossible for him just to recite answers and learn scripts. She said that the clever hands effect just didn't apply at all.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, it needs to be taken with a massive grain of salt, because we don't know. It was just this one lady, and the parrot ended up dying anyway.
Sad.
Yeah, which is sad.
They do. But that
is the story of Alex the talking parrot, and I would like to leave you with his last words.
Alex's last words.
Yeah, Alex's last words.
Right.
Which is, "You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you."
What?
Yeah.
No.
That's the whole reason that I've done this, because I love that.
No.
That's what he said every night when he went to bed.
Oh. That is so. But I'm guessing he learned that from somebody else. Somebody else said that to him.
Yeah.
Someone went, "You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you."
He had no idea what it meant, but it's really cute, isn't
that's
it?
That's lovely.
Do you want to see a picture of him?
Please.
Oh, he's
the last
so
words
cute.
Of Alex the parrot to his caretaker was, "You be good. See you tomorrow. I love you."
It's lovely, isn't it?
All the feelings. Wow. Wow, that's left me with a positive feeling in this
it's
podcast.
It's good, isn't it?
So cute.
A happy ending for once.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday, and why not leave us a nice wee review? You can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, or donate to us at patreon.com/SciGuys, or send us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
That's SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
SciGuysPod@gmail.com.
I'm not Corey everywhere.
I'm Jampkin everywhere.
You can find me at Luke Cutforth everywhere.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.